Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of the CCEF Christian Counseling and Educational Foundation. I'm your host, Winston Smith, counselor and faculty member at CCEF, and I'm joined here today by
Mike Emlett
and Chris Carter.
Mike Emlett, as most of you know, is a counselor and faculty member at CCEF, and Chris Carter is one of our finest students. So he's a mediocre student.
Sure.
Just kidding. We got a question submitted to us about anxiety that I want us to talk about today. So let me just read this, and we'll chew it up a little bit together. Goes like this: I occasionally get anxiety without conscious causation. This anxious feeling is something I feel in my upper chest and will come upon me for days or weeks at a time. It's debilitating. I can be having a good time with my wife, family, or friends. I can be working out or playing basketball. I can be at the grocery store shopping. It just lingers. No matter how hard I think about why do I feel anxious, I come up with nothing. This has been going on for many years, since childhood, and typically anxiety is tied to an object or a situation. Most of my anxiety is not tied to an object or situation, at least consciously. What do I do to fight this torment? How do I cast my anxieties on Jesus without knowing what to cast?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, first, I really want to commend the questioner for trying to explore underlying issues. He's not taking the anxiety for granted as though this is just something out of the blue and there's no underlying cause for it. He's really wondering, why is this happening? And diligently searching, although he's not really been able to put his finger on anything. So I really want to commend the questioner for taking it seriously, and not just putting it into a medical category or something else, blaming it on his circumstances. I mean, I think if his history were of shorter bursts of anxiety lasting maybe for minutes or, you know, parts of days, I would actually wonder about something physiological going on, like maybe a heart arrhythmia or something like that. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on for many, many years. So that may be less likely, but I still think it would be important, if he hasn't done so already, to have a physician check him out, talk these things over, make sure there isn't anything that seems to be obvious physiologically that could be responsible for this, in light of the fact that he's really kind of plowing his heart. He's really trying to look for things that might be within him, spiritually, emotionally, that are stirring up anxiety. Mm-hmm.
So that there are physiological conditions that can sort of send an anxious signal, kind of, to our brains that we would interpret as anxiety, but it really, in a sense, isn't anxiety.
Yeah, like for example, sometimes a heart arrhythmia will come out of the blue, and so a person's heart may race. Well, that's one of the symptoms of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then as you feel your heart racing, you're actually feeling anxious. You're wondering, why is this happening? What's going on? So you might start to breathe fast. You might start to sweat. And yet the causative thing is really a physiological problem. Imbalances in thyroid can sometimes cause that as well. So there are other, you know, rarer things that that can be associated with kind of bursts of anxiety. So it's worth at least thinking about those possibilities.
You know, as I thought about this question, I thought, this guy really is probably wrestling with anxiety at two levels. Level one is, I feel anxious, and I don't like feeling anxious. But then probably at another level, there's, I feel anxious because I don't know why I feel anxious. And I can imagine how that, especially over time, could kind of snowball. And if it's been going on for years and years, just start kind of forming this frustrating identity, kind of as an anxious person. And, you know, and assuming there's nothing obvious kind of in his history that would explain kind of developing an anxious mindset in his life. I wonder if one of the ways I encourage him is, when you turning to the Lord doesn't mean just turning to the Lord with, you know, all the specifics you'd like to have. Mm-hmm. But if you turn to the Lord and you just share your experience with him, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that's an exercise in faith. Mm-hmm. And that's an exercise that the Spirit of Christ will be active in. So I sort of mm-hmm. imagine saying to this person, you could go to Jesus with almost the exact same thing you've shared with us.
Yeah.
Lord, I feel anxious, but it's more than that. I feel anxious because I feel anxious. I'm frustrated. I'm afraid there's something more wrong with me than just anxiety. I'm frustrated because I don't know where this is coming from. Mm-hmm. Have mercy on me. Help me. If there are things in my heart that I need to see, you know, mm-hmm. show them to me. So I kind of think that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm with you, Mike, that I really appreciate his desire to understand himself from the perspective of the heart, but having something more specific to bring to the Lord isn't the most important thing. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is that you are turning to the Lord mm-hmm. and and asking for his help.
Yeah, to me that seems to be paralleling what the psalmists do. I mean, there are a lot of psalms where the psalmist is like, I'm confused. I don't know what you're up to here, Lord. This, my life doesn't make sense. My experiences don't make sense. And it's a call out to the Lord to be faithful, to be near, to hear. And I think those are all things that this gentleman can do in the moment that, because he's turning to the Lord, he's turning to a person, mm-hmm. and I think that's really mm-hmm. critical. Mm-hmm. Something that came to mind, scripture that came to mind is 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. You know, Paul's saying to the Corinthians, I don't want you to be uninformed about the problems we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Mm-hmm. And I think even not knowing the why behind this experience, he can take, as you were saying, Winston, take this experience to the Lord and cry out to experience Jesus' resurrection power in that moment. And then Paul goes on to say, as you help us with your prayers. So I want to make sure that he's, how many other people were in the loop of his struggle? How many other people has he talked to about this? And mm-hmm. and can they be recruited to help mm-hmm. with him, help pray for him?
So actually, the whole process of wrestling with the anxiety itself has value, even if you never locate some, you know, some identifiable source. The mm-hmm. process itself mm-hmm. Has value.
That's right.
Yeah. This may be going off on a bit of a tangent, but I can imagine this being a person who might also hear from others that, well, because of how chronic this issue is, maybe you should think about medication.
Mm-hmm.
If this fellow had added that onto his question, yeah. what would your thoughts be on that?
Yeah, I think some of it depends. The answer to that, I think, well, first of all, I think it is a wisdom question. I don't think there's a yes or no answer to that. Some of it, he used the word debilitating. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to, if I were talking with him in person, I'd like to get a better idea of what he means by that. I mean, is he laid out for days at a time? Is he not able to function at his job or as a husband or father? So that would factor into my decision.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if he is very debilitating and he's really done and continues to do the things that we've been talking about, going to the Lord, seeking wise counsel in terms of whether there really are any underlying issues that are identifiable, having done a physical workup with a physician, I wouldn't be opposed to him using medication intermittently. It seems like this is an intermittent problem. but that certainly wouldn't be, you know, the first thing I would, mm-hmm. would go yeah. to. Mm-hmm. But it, some of it really depends on how debilitated he is and how after or as he employs the things that we've been talking about, are things changing? Because it may, as he goes to the Lord, as he takes his experience of anxiety to the Lord, and maybe he's already doing that, we don't know, that may impact. I have a friend who has had panic attacks, and it's almost like he's gotten more used to them. Like he's following the Lord, he's calling out to Jesus, but he still has occasional panic attacks. And what he's realizing is this is my body's telling me to be anxious right now, but I don't necessarily have to go along for that full ride. Mm-hmm. And so that may be his experience as well as he turns to the Lord. But if it's not, I wouldn't be opposed to that possibility of medication.
Yeah. Mm.
Inside the context of getting medical counsel, and let's say this gentleman is back at home, kind of in the regular moments of life, and he begins to experience one of these moments where his anxiety makes him feel scattered, and he's asking about, you know, how do I focus on Jesus? Are there some kind of practical exercises or helps that you guys have found maybe commonly helpful for people you've counseled that may be similar, that he can maybe start with some just ideas for kind of in the moment, what does focus look like?
Well, I kind of in general, I think that emotions can be very powerful. And once your body's kind of kicked in to the emotional experience, and then here we're talking about fear experiences, it can be really difficult to just combat the way you feel or wrestle with the way that you feel inside of your head, with your mind. Your mind plays a critical role, obviously, but just sitting in a room with your wrestling with your own thoughts isn't usually the way to go. Mm-hmm. So I guess, just to get started, I would say two ingredients would be, and we're kind of already going there, two ingredients would be your words and the Lord. Your words and relationship. There's a huge difference between wrestling with your own thoughts and turning to the Lord and speaking. You know, as soon as we begin to put our thoughts and our feelings into words, we can't help but begin to shape them and order them. And when we direct them to the Lord, we're making it relational, and we are, in a sense, activating or calling on the Lord, you know, to move powerfully. And maybe if I were going to add a third ingredient to that, I would say, and slow that process down. If you're able, if he's able in this anxious state, to sit down with pen and paper, to actually start writing those things down, to turn it into kind of prayer journaling, that can help kind of just make that communication more real, immediate, and concrete to him as he interacts with the Lord about it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of one, for instance, of ways that you can act sort of concretely and in a focused way to address how you're feeling.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Winston. And probably we could add, are there concrete, tangible expressions of love that he can carry out toward other people, toward his wife, towards his children, toward others. That's not going to be easy in the midst of anxiety. But anxiety tends to be this vortex that draws you increasingly inward and downward. And so by reaching out, by doing something tangibly in love toward another person, you're kind of pushed out of that, though it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.